Module 4, What Goes in an Application? This module will provide you with an overview of the contents that are included in an acceptable application. You'll learn all about the oath or declaration and information disclosure statements. The specification is one of the most important parts of the application. We'll discuss its contents, especially the claims. Learn the general rules regarding claims and how they must be written. Drawings are required in most patent applications. Find out the specifics related to drawings and the alternatives that may be possible. Application contents. In the last module, you learned about the different application types. This module will cover exactly what goes into them. But before covering the different components, here's a quick summary of the required contents. Provisional applications are the least involved. Remember, they are more like an idea holder than a regular application. Since they aren't ever even examined, less is required for a provisional application than for a non-provisional. Provisional applications must include a specification that describes the invention and any drawings necessary to help visualize it. The specification is the major component, although the PTO also expects a cover sheet identifying the application as provisional. Without the indication that the application is provisional, it'll be treated as a non-provisional application. Since the provisional would be missing a few things, it'll end up being sent back to the applicant as incomplete. Therefore, although it may seem trivial, the cover sheet is important. In addition to identifying the application as a provisional application, the cover sheet must also contain the name and residence of each inventor, the address any correspondence should be sent to, the title of the invention, the registration number of any patent practitioners who may have helped, and a few other odds and ends. And that's really it. In order to secure a filing date for a provisional application, a specification describing the invention, any necessary drawings, and a cover sheet must be filed. In addition, there's also a required filing fee, although you may send in the filing fee with a surcharge at a later date. Claims are not required for a provisional application. Neither is an oath or a declaration. They are not examined for patentability and will be abandoned 12 months after their filing date. Non-provisional applications are more robust than provisional applications. Non-provisionals must include a specification and any necessary drawings. In addition to these requirements, they must also include the claims. The claims describe exactly what is being patented and should leave no room for the imagination. They must be clear and concise. A non-provisional application will be considered incomplete unless it has at least one claim. Non-provisional applications must also include a cover sheet that identifies it as a non-provisional application and includes the particulars about the inventors. Once the specification, the claims, and any necessary drawings have been submitted, a filing date will be granted. Non-provisional applications must also include an oath or declaration and a filing fee. However, both the oath or declaration and the filing fee may be submitted later along with the surcharge. The oath or declaration. The oath or declaration is a patent application formality complete with signatures from each inventor. It certifies important facts concerning the inventorship of an application, like who invented the claimed invention. In addition, within the oath or declaration, the inventors must certify that they understand the contents of the application and that they know of their duty to disclose all the relevant information. In addition, within the oath or declaration, the inventors must specify the specification as their disclosure. These documents must list out each inventor. Neither an oath or a declaration may be changed in any way, shape, or form after it's signed and sent into the PTO. If there is an error in the oath, a completely new oath will have to be sent in with brand new signatures. The major difference between an oath and a declaration is that an oath is sworn to be true before a notary of the public. A declaration includes a warning indicating that the signed individual realizes willfully false statements are punishable by law. Either one is acceptable. The PTO just wants a record showing a complete list of the inventors and that they swear to be in compliance with the rules and regulations of patent law. Both an oath or a declaration must be signed for by the actual inventors only. The power of attorney may not sign in their place. The applicant may be allowed to include a substitute statement explaining the inventor is deceased, legally incapacitated, cannot be found or reached, or under obligation to assign the invention but refuses to make the oath or declaration. Provisional applications do not require an oath or a declaration, while non-provisional applications do. For non-provisional applications filed before September 16, 2012, the office will issue a notice to file missing parts if an applicant does not submit the oath or declaration within a specified time period, which is usually 2 months after the filing date. For applications filed on or after September 16, 2012, the inventor's oath or declaration can be postponed until the application is otherwise in condition for allowance. In this instance, the application must include an application data sheet that lists out each inventor. The oath or declaration will need to be submitted no later than the date that the issue fee is paid. Information disclosure statements. Information disclosure statements, also called IDSs, are not required, but they may be included with the patent application. An IDS includes a list of all the patents, publications, and any other form of information relevant to the invention. An inventor would most likely have these reference materials handy if he or she performed a patent search before proceeding with the application. A patent search should always be performed before the filing of a patent application. While an IDS is not required, the benefit of one is that the examiner will have the reference materials related to the invention at hand and may judge the invention's patentability in light of the prior art without having to search for it. An applicant may send in an IDS with the application when he or she first files it. Alternately, an IDS may be sent in at a later date. However, the later it is sent in during the prosecution, the larger the hassle it becomes. An IDS may still be sent in on or after the mailing date of either a final office action or a notice of allowance, but at this point, the applicant must send in a statement, a petition, and a fee. Alternately, if the IDS is sent when the application is first filed, nothing is required. Absolutely no IDSs may be sent in after the payment of an issue fee. The PTO will just place these in the application file, but the examiner will not review them. If an applicant needs the PTO to consider an IDS after the issue fee has been paid, then the application must be withdrawn from issue and either a continuing application or a CPA must be filed to replace it. Specification. The specification, also known as the disclosure, describes the manner and process of making and using the invention. It must be presented in full, clear, concise, and exact terms that distinguish it from similar inventions of the past. Any new improvements over previous inventions should be pointed out. The specification is a very important part of the patent application. It tells the reader how to make and use the invention. A complete specification consists of many different elements. The major elements of the specification include the following: the title and abstract of the invention, cross-references to any related applications, the brief summary of the invention, drawings, if necessary, along with a description of any drawings, a detailed description of the invention, and lastly, the claims. Provisional applications should include all the components of a specification except the claims. You'll learn a little more about each element in the sections that follow. The title and abstract. The title and the abstract of the specification are required so the reader can quickly determine the nature of the invention. The PTO expects titles to be clear and concise. Most titles are fairly short, all in all, just 2 to 7 words describing the invention, but they can be as long as 500 characters in length. The abstract must commence on a separate sheet, preferably after the claims, which is at the very end of the specification. The abstract only needs to be a one-paragraph summary. The exact details of the invention are not necessary. In fact, the maximum length for an abstract is 150 words, so it must be short. Abstracts must focus on the subject matter that makes the invention novel, such as any modifications incorporated into this new invention which make it an improvement over the previous inventions. They are provided so a reader can quickly determine what was invented. The brief summary and brief description of the drawings. The brief summary of the invention should be presented in one or more clear, concise sentences or paragraphs. This section should indicate exactly what the invented subject matter is. If there are any drawings in the application, a brief description of the drawings should follow. This section should provide an explanation for the several views of the drawings with an identification system for any symbols they might use. For example, if Figure 1 has several components, the components could be labeled 1A, 1B, and so on. The brief description of the drawings should clearly state what each figure represents. The detailed description. A detailed description of the invention should follow the brief summary of the invention and the description of the drawings. The key to the detailed description is that anyone skilled in the area of the invention, for example, if it's related to electrical engineering, an electrical engineer, should be able to make and use the invention just by reading the detailed description. Therefore, this section must include detailed instructions for making and or using the invention. If the electrical engineer has to fiddle around with the methods described to get the invention to work, the detailed description is not considered acceptable. The claims. The claims are one of the most important sections of a patent. They describe in detail exactly what has been invented, and therefore, what is protected by the patent. If a patent is allowed and later on an infringement case is initiated, the courts will scrutinize the claims in order to establish whether or not the rights of the patent owners were actually infringed upon. Claims are the definition of that for which prosecution is granted. Since the claims are so important, there are many rules involved with them. This section only briefly summarizes a few of the major points involved with writing the claims. There may always be more than one claim in an application if the invention warrants it. These claims may even refer back to and further limit another claim in the same application. In this case, these are called dependent claims. A dependent claim may even refer to more than one other claim. Dependent claims that refer back to more than one claim are considered multiple dependent claims. Multiple dependent claims may only refer to the claims they are based on in an alternative form. Alternative expressions include the terms or and optionally. Multiple dependent claims must refer back to preceding claims in the alternative form. They may never refer back in the cumulative and. So, acceptable phrases using or terminology include wherein R is A, B, C, or D, made entirely or in part of, iron, steel, or any other magnetic material. The optionally terminology includes an alternative format which requires some analysis before concluding whether or not the language is indefinite. The language containing A, B, and optionally C is considered acceptable alternative language because there is no ambiguity. Here's an example of a good multiple dependent claim. A gadget according to claims two or three further comprising. Notice that the statement includes the phrase two or three. It would never be acceptable to state two and three. This is a key point to remember. In addition, multiple dependent claims cannot depend on other multiple dependent claims. It's also important to recognize that the claims should be presented in a particular order. Claims should be arranged so that the first claim is the broadest one, and subsequent claims should narrow in scope the further down they are on the list. Claims that are similar should be grouped together, and product and process claims need to be grouped separately. When there's more than one claim, each one should be separated by a line of indentation, and each claim should begin with a capital letter and end with a period. Furthermore, they should begin with I or we claim or the invention claimed is. In addition, each paragraph within the claim should be separated by a semicolon or a comma. Of course, there is much more involved in the claim writing process. This fundamentals course only includes a small sample of the detailed rules and laws of claims. The drawings. Most inventions will require a drawing or two along with the specification in order to help understand the invention. However, drawings are not a necessity in every patent application. But if an application is missing a necessary drawing, it'll be considered incomplete and the application will not be given a filing date until an acceptable drawing is received. Drawings are usually in black and white ink. However, color drawings may be necessary in rare instances and will be accepted if they are accompanied by the required fees. Photographs are not usually allowed, but they may be accepted if a photograph is the only practical way to illustrate the claimed invention. In these cases, the required fee must be included along with a petition. Many biotechnology-related applications contain photographs, since drawings can't accurately replicate the results of most experiments. In addition, some design applications require photographs instead of drawings due to the nature of the invention. There are quite a number of rules associated with drawings. For example, drawings must show every feature of the invention. In addition, graphic drawing symbols and other labeled symbols may be used wherever they are appropriate. Lastly, the views in a drawing must never be connected by projection lines or contain center lines. Models are not usually admitted into a patent application. However, there are times when specimens are required, especially for biotechnology-related inventions. In instances like these, the inventor will have to supply seeds or actual cells to the PTO as a deposit, along with the completion of a petition.